I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 98 of Better Podcasting. Today, we're going to dazzle you with a Better Podcasting Extra by Emily and lay out some suggestions to help you engage with your audience.
In this week's Better Podcasting Download, we're going to discuss a recent podcast media host company's announcement about some changes to their stats.
And finally, Steven gives his first impressions on some really cool new podcast gear.
Lauren, start the show now.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 98 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and of course, that leaves, by subtraction, Stargate Pioneer.
Hey, it's a great week. We got a lot of stuff. We have a show. Stephen, it was amazing as we were going through the show notes last night. We were typing them at the same time. I got to tell you, it's a little bit annoying because, you know, you're typing above me and I got to push down and then I type above you and you end up in my parts of the show notes. I mean, that's how packed this show is. We were typing over each other.
Yeah, you mean when we did that 2 weeks ago. That's what you mean, right? Not last night, because we would be a lot more prepared than last night.
At least we knew the topics 2 weeks ago.
We knew them a lot more than 2 weeks ago. Let's give ourselves some credit. We are pretty special people. At least that's what I've been told many times.
That's why we take the short bus to work.
All right. So, yes, you are here with your favorite Better Podcasting podcast called Better Podcasting. And we're going to tell you about a bunch of things that we ran down at the top of the show. But before we get there, let me just remind you that we are part of the show network, a show network. There you go. There's Stephen terms again, called the Gunna Geek Network. And there's a bunch of amazing geeky content there. If you're into geeky things, please check that out. It's GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And there's even a show there called the official GunnaGeek.com show that SP and I do with our co-host, Chris Farrell, and the occasional guest. We talk about a bunch of geeky news, including things like tech and gaming, i.e. we talked about cell phones this week. So check that out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And while you're over there, you should probably think about crafting a message to us, a message about how you saved your podcast. That's right. We're always looking for some of those stories. So if you have a story about how you saved your podcast, please do let us know. You can email that to podcast@betterpodcasting.com. You can tweet us at BetterPod, or you can go to facebook.com/betterpodcasting. But if you could send us a video, that would be awesome, because we are a video show as well. And we are available at youtube.com/gunnageek. SP. There's one more plug that I have right now, because I feel like there's people here who are going to want to subscribe. Don't you agree?
I think so. As a matter of fact, that's a big reason why we did it. We have spun off the gear portion of our reviews on YouTube. So you don't have to go to the Gunna Geek YouTube channel just to get your gear on. We have a special channel on YouTube for your gear, and it's called Gunna Geek Gear.
Absolutely. Now, if you want to check this out, for now, you're going to have to go ahead and use a short link due to YouTube naming restrictions. You're going to have to go to www.geeks.link/gunnageekgear. That's www.geeks.link/gunnageekgear. So check that out and please subscribe, because that's where all of our product and hardware and microphone and shootout and unboxing videos are going to go. They're going to be there on their own channel. So check that out. That is the Gunna Geek Gear channel. Now, speaking of gear, let's go ahead and see what our correspondent has to say this week.
Hey,
is fantastic. We, a few weeks ago, played a wonderful clip from the one and only Emily Prokop from the Story Behind podcast. Emily has some amazing talent. And so who better than Emily to do some microphone reviews for this very show? We are not worthy. We don't know why she does them for us. We are definitely not worthy of her, but she is back with another one that you're going to be able to go and find at www.geeks.link/zoom shotgun. That's what it is. Geeks.link/zoom shotgun. SP, what is this about?
Emily dives into the different capsules that are available for her Zoom H5 portable recorder, and she goes down the shotgun microphone. She talks about the XLR capsule. She talks about the XY microphone. So just a bunch of great stuff, and you can listen to that entire thing on the Gunna Geek Gear channel. But don't worry, we have a little teaser clip for you because Emily's just too good to pass up. And Steven, you want to roll that tape right now so everybody can see what the great Emily has in store?
Absolutely.
So what about the wind? All right, so you're going to get wind with a microphone. So there are fans coming. Now, if this were the breeze, you would hear it and you would kind of have that like whoosh type sound to it. So what they give you is a hairy windscreen, otherwise known as a dead cat. And I hate that phrase. Don't call it a dead cat. Cats should never die. They don't die. That's why they have 9 lives. To cut down on that wind noise, we'll put it on. All right, so we have the dead cat on. Ah, dead cat. Don't call it a dead cat. I don't know. Let's think of something else to call it. A dead toupee. We'll call it a dead toupee. That's what I will call it.
Yes, dead toupee. I can definitely get on board with that. Can't you, SP?
Yeah, and by the way, hair, I don't know if hair dies right away. I think it's still alive for a little bit, so I think we might not have to call it a dead toupee.
So it's just a toupee?
Yeah, it's a toupee for your Zoom H5 shotgun microphone.
I thought toupee was what you always ask me to do every week.
No, that's Chris.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I gotta say, this clip is awesome. There's more than just the shotgun in it, as SP mentioned, but it is something, though, that I'm personally intrigued with the Zoom shotgun because it's been very underrated for a while, and I know somebody who has played with it a little bit. I've seen some other videos as well, and it is just totally underrated, so I'm super excited for you all to see this wonderful video from Emily. So please check that out and make sure you tell Emily how awesome she is, right?
Emily is totally awesome. Yeah, you should be doing that every day anyway. And you can catch her on Twitter at The Story Behind. And that's from The Story Behind podcast. But she's also the Better Podcasting Gear correspondent, Emily Prokop.
Awesome. Thanks for doing that, Emily. And if you want to see Emily talk more about a certain feature of the Zoom products, please do get in touch with her because Emily loves doing these. She said that she only does them for the listeners. She does not do it for SP and myself. She says that, in fact, that's a detracting factor.
No, and it's not due to the fact that she gets free gear out of it either. So, no, it's not due to that either.
Well, thank you very much, Emily. Now, let's go ahead and tell you a little bit about how you're going to get engaged with your audience. Oh! You can picture it now. You're down on one knee in front of your audience, and you're saying, "Will you engage with my podcast?" That's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk all about how you can cultivate audience engagement. That's right. You got to get your hose and your rakes out and cultivate.
Will you go steady with me? Will you hit that subscribe button? Yeah. Hey, we get it. You're hobby podcasters. Sometimes it feels like you're talking into a little bit of a vacuum. You want to tap your mic and say, "Is this thing on?" And then after you discover that you forgot to hit record, the feeling still comes back. Is anybody listening? Hey, one way to find out is to inspire conversations and feedback with your listeners. And then also having another voice, especially if you're a solo podcaster, either whether it's read in your voice or in the form of audio or video feedback. It provides a slightly different point of view for your audience and for your listener, and it provides more credibility in you and your show. So we put together some ways to describe to you how you can cultivate that engagement with your audience. And sadly, neither of us actually have an engagement ring on our fingers right now. That would have been so great. I missed opportunity. So first off, provide your contact information. It's great to say it in your show. We say it all the time in our show. You should be saying it in your show, but make sure you have it on your website too. Steven and I have reviewed several shows for the GunnaGeek.com network, which you can apply at GunnaGeek.com/join. And it always surprises us when their contact information is not available on the website. Matter of fact, it surprises us so much we had to change the form to make sure that their Twitter account, their Facebook account, and their social media presence was included in their application so that we could find out if they did have a social media presence or how the public could get in touch with them. So if your listener cannot easily find out how to contact you, they might not take the effort and time to find out how. So what are some of the ways? I already mentioned a few. Email is one for sure. If you have an email address like podcast@betterpodcasting.com is ours. The Twitter account, ours is @betterpod. Facebook account, well, Steven runs that, but you can find Better Podcasting on Facebook. We don't have a voicemail number here on this show, but I do have voicemail numbers on all the rest of my shows. We just figured since we're talking to podcasters, they pretty much should know how to record or hit record on the telephone. Or
plus I'm cheap.
Yeah, we're very cheap. And so voicemail, it might be good for you if you're talking to non-podcasters. Also, YouTube, that is a great way as well. YouTube comments, you can go back and forth. They're public, but it's a way to go back and forth as well. So that's the first way to get engagement, is just to provide that contact information, say it on your show, and have it on your website. Steven, what's another way?
Well, you should invite them to chime in. This is a huge part that people forget, is that sometimes listeners aren't willing to chime in because they think that they'd be out of step. If you ask them in a manner that's going to encourage them to give you an answer, that's going to help you engage with them. You don't want to ask questions that are so complex that all of the rocket scientists in the world can't answer. No, ask them a simple question, something that's going to be a little passionate to them, but also going to be easy for them to answer. For example, I'm on an iPhone kick right now. I don't own an iPhone, but they were just released and it's making all sorts of waves around the internet. So if I was doing a tech show, I might say, if you're in the market for an iPhone, which is more on your eyes, the iPhone 8 or the iPhone 10? And that would be something that would probably get some passionate responses because people will be very, very divided about that. So that would be a simple question that I could get somebody to come in and answer that question.
I believe the word you were searching for was not divided. It's opinionated. Yeah, there's a lot of opinions out there. If you could get people talking about their opinions, but back it up with facts, you're going to be doing great. And here's another way that you can solicit feedback, is you provide a live streaming recording experience, and it gives your listener a way to provide direct input into your show that could even change the course of your show. You could be like, oh, I didn't think about that. We're going to talk about that now. And let me caution you, though, if you do have a chat room and you have a live show, whether it's video or audio, be careful it doesn't take over your planned show unless you are literally answering live questions, and it would be a way to garner those questions. Also, if you have a solo show, do not become so distracted that you forget that you are also recording. You want to continue that show for your audience as a whole, not just for one person or just the people in the chat. Like, you've heard it say maybe 10%, maybe 20% of a show's audience shows up live to a live event. It could be even less than that. So you're talking to 80 or 90% of the people that will time delay watch you later. So you have to remember that. And those people will be unforgiving for you if you pause and look down in the chat and go, Heather just said, Emily, you are awesome, which is true. Both Emily is awesome and Heather said that, but that makes no sense for the rest of this show. So you just got to stay on point. Hey, a more advanced version of providing a way to provide feedback during a live show would be a call-in show, but A, you're going to have to build an audience for that, and B, you're going to have to become experienced before you even try that. So don't try that out of the bat. It's not going to work. It worked with Blab just because it was inherent in Blab, but that was a whole nother ball of issues and problems. Like, you had people coming into Blab that were showing naked pictures of themselves, and you'd have to kick them off fast and stuff like that. So it is a more advanced thing. And Steven, I told you not to do that anymore, and you are the reason why Blab canceled itself.
You know what? I'm always happy to say that I am the one that caused the demise of Blab. I'm cool with that.
I bet you would be.
Here's another interesting one if you can afford it, and it's contest giveaways with a catch. If you've ever noticed when we give away contests, or when we give away contests, when we give away products, we often do encourage some form of communication to do with the contest. And that's because we're soliciting opinions, we're getting feedback, we're getting information from the people who are wanting to enter. So that is a great way that you can do it. Now, you don't have to give away expensive products. For example, maybe you have a back order or a backlog, I should say, of bumper stickers or just stickers that you want to give away. You might have so many stickers to give away that you don't know what to do with them. It might be a really good idea to run a contest to find out how exactly you should give away those stickers.
Yeah, and maybe the contest would be, I am going to give away stickers that I have pasted to my entire body and then give them away later. No, don't do that. But yes, stickers would be a great inexpensive giveaway. I know a lot of people have done that. A lot of people have given away gear like t-shirts or mugs, or we've even given away, not on this show, but we've even given away coasters with the Gonna Geek symbol on it. So there's a lot of giveaways that you can do. We do microphone and audio gear here on Biter Podcasting. It just made sense to us to start off with. We have a few more things to give away, by the way, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, it is a way. And here's the most important part. Steven said it before. Make sure that you get something from it. And I like to get creative things. Like with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're always asking really cool questions that will entertain the rest of our audience. And that's it. We want our listeners to give us entertaining responses for the rest. And Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is about entertainment. So there you go. They try to give entertainment. So the next way you can garner feedback is you can create polls or surveys. We've tended to notice that our audience loves to respond to the Twitter polls. And I know different people do surveys as well. So just asking questions is one thing in the surveys themselves. So you can set up the surveys to ask questions. But the most important thing is to provide a methodology to also let your survey or poll taker comment. So you want those comments as well. You don't just want the raw data. You want to connect with them and you want to get that conversation going back and forth. This is all about cultivating engagement. So if you provide an open-ended question or provide a way, like on Twitter, they can just reply to the tweet. Those are ways that you can cultivate that conversation.
Other ways that you can do this, which is really outside of your show, is if you interact with other groups that your audience hangs out with. So we've talked about actually going to conventions and things like that for shared passions. Well, you could do that online. You can find online communities that have that same passion. And then you never know exactly what you're going to get out of that. You might actually have somebody that you can encourage to give you some information, but you also might be able to take some of that that data, that talking, the discussion, bring it on your show, mention it, and then come back to those people that said that and say, hey, I talked about it on your show. And then they might end up saying, oh, well, I got more I can say on that. So really outside of your podcast directly, look for those communities where you do have the shared passion.
Yeah, Reddit in the podcasts and podcasting subreddits, that's a great place. Yeah, I'll drop the fact that we talked about it, but I'll also give something a little extra. So it's all about talking to the audience or potential audience members, and it's really cultivating those relationships, even if it's one person at a time. That's what you're trying to do. Also, you could go in real life. Say you're doing a podcast about bowling or the music scene. So you go out to see a band play. You go out to see bowlers. There's different things that you can do in real life and then talk to people and then garner their feedback. Don't hesitate to go to a convention. Grab a microphone. Any microphone will do to start out with, even your phone, and just interview somebody. Get that feedback and have fun doing that. And if you have a card, give them your card and say, hey, this will be on a future episode. You might want to subscribe and be prepared to listen to yourself on the show. So they'll love that. And just get that going. Also, create a community, an online community or an in-person community. So what we've done with Better Podcasting, it's not Better Podcasting branded. It's for the hobby podcast. Actually, it's for all podcasters. Thepodcastforum.com. Forums have been around for a long time. I mean, even back to the old BBS message boards, you can maybe call those a forum. So forums, I've seen a lot of Discord servers, which is really from video gamers, but it seems to work well with podcasters. I've been in about 3 different Discord groups recently, and they are very active, and it is where a lot of people are communicating back and forth. So Discord is really fun. Slack for the professionals is a good place to go as well. Facebook groups, that's something that we talked about before. And don't forget, you can always schedule an in-person meetup, and people even from around the world can come and meet up with you and discuss feedback.
I'm a little surprised that Discord works for podcasting, because really, don't we need cords to podcast? And if we Discord, how are we recording our microphone?
Well, Steven, you're assuming too much. You're assuming that you need cords to podcast. You can actually go wireless these days. Now, I don't recommend it, especially on a hobbyist budget, but it is possible to go wireless, especially with Bluetooth coming on. Hey, no 3.5 millimeter jacks in these phones these days. So I'm just saying.
So you're saying that I take my wireless device, I hook it up to my computer, and then I Discord the power from the computer. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying it's a community called Discord.
Oh, I misunderstood. My apologies.
Yeah. And there's also communities that have wrapped themselves around Voxer. And there's just a whole bunch of ways that you can create an online community. So the key is just to do where your listeners are going to be. So if they're not going to be on Facebook, don't go to Facebook. If they're not going to be on Reddit, don't create a subreddit. Make sure that they are going to be where you're creating the community.
Now, this is one of my favorite ones, is if you have your listeners guest on the show. So these are people that you know listen, that have something relevant to say, and it would fit with your show, of course. You don't want to go and sacrifice your show just to try to engage a little bit more, but your show might allow that, and you might be able to bring a guest on to talk about the subject. This is something that we did big time back in the day with the Fanboy Buzz comic book podcast, and it worked so well for us. We got so much engagement, not only from the listeners directly, but also from their fan base as well, because back then we were talking to a lot of indie comic book people, and so having them on, they had a following. So it worked really well, and it just gave so much good material.
That's actually how I became a podcaster. I guessed it on a show that was running at the time. We talked about before, Galactic Water Cooler. Did that New Year's Eve 2010 and really haven't looked back since. So that's great. We also have All Things Good and Nerdy on the network, and they have guests on all the time as well. Matter of fact, one of their past guests is now my co-host on the Starling Tribune. That's Michelle. So yeah, it does work. And we have a lot of podcasters on the Good to Geek Network that have come into podcasting because they have guested on podcasts before. So that's a way to create the feedback and future podcasters.
Now, here's one that I will just go ahead and say that you could also do, is you could actually have your listener create a segment.
Yeah, that's actually how Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox started, is Neil wanted to talk about comics, and I'm like, well, I've got this Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Why don't you start a segment? So he did. He started a segment, and then we started a whole new podcast on it. So there you go.
You can also ask your audience for feedback, right, SP?
Yeah. Hey, your audience is one of the best gauges for trying to find out what works and what does not work. And make sure you tell your audience that their opinion of the show is valuable, it's valid, and encourage them to let you know what their thoughts are. Sometimes feedback will be major, such as, I really hate Steven. He's such a tool. Sometimes it'll just help shape the show. Like, Steven's shootouts are awesome. Do more of them. Emily's microphone reviews are awesome. We need more reporter consultant Emily on the show. Those sorts of things. They're minor. They could turn into major components of your show, but they're minor statements, really. And of course, as we said previously, make it easy for them to let you know what they're talking about. And while we're talking about feedback, by the way, remember, we did talk about feedback as part of our community building episode back in episode number 81. So that's betterpodcasting.com/81 if you want to know all about what we said before about feedback. Steven, I think the Patriots suck.
You're trying to just demonstrate here, and I'm not going to play into it, but the one thing that a lot of people sometimes undervalue is creating a rivalry. Okay, now this isn't you and your co-host in a deathmatch, TOS original series, shirtless style. That's not what's happening here. No, this is just in good fun. If you are with co-hosts that you can have a little bit of fun and take opposite positions and create a rivalry, that can be very infectious. That is something that a lot of times listeners will feel passionate about. They'll be like, yeah, no, I am team SP, or I am team Steven, or I'm team original series. No, I'm team next generation, or I'm team Jacob. I'm team Edward. I mean, I don't get that reference at all. But
you love vampire baseball, well, admit it.
Don't know what you're talking about. But this is something, though, that if it's executed well, it can be really fun and really engaging to your listeners, because they probably are going to take a side. And if you make it clear and you make it fun and it doesn't sound like you are actually hating each other, your listeners are probably going to want to get in on that. And that can create a lot of engagement with them.
It can. It has worked well for the Digital Soup podcast and All Things Good and Nerdy, both on the Gunna Geek Network. They have created, out of the blue, a podcast rivalry between the two. Something about who gets whose news or something. I don't know. Go ahead, check out their shows. They're really fun. They're both really fun shows to listen to. And All Things Good and Nerdy is not suitable for work, but Digital Soup is. So there you go. There's your difference between the two. Other than that, they're both great shows. Heck, creating a rivalry could even be with your listeners if you know them well enough and you make it clear you're just having fun.
Yeah, and that is the key, is they need to know you're having fun. You don't want to be sounding like you're pompous or arrogant or any of that. No, you want to make sure that it's lots of fun. So there's really a ton of different ways that you can create engagement or cultivate engagement with your audience. Ultimately, though, this is something that you're going to probably want to be pretty passionate about, because your passion is going to translate to your audience. And if they pick up on that, they're going to want to be like, yeah, cool, I like that too. And you want to make sure all of what we talk about comes off as genuine. If it doesn't come off as genuine, it's something that I know they're going to sit there and they're going to go, yeah, whatever. Just get past telling me your phone number. I want to hear the rest of it. So you got to show that you actually want it.
Yeah, and listener, if you have any ideas that have worked for you in your show and you would like to share it with us here at Better Podcasting and the Better Podcasting audience, and we have not discussed it, please let us know and we'll gladly talk about it on the show.
Oh, and since I mentioned iPhone earlier, let me channel my inner Steve Jobs and give you one more thing. This is my favorite way that you cultivate audience engagement. What you do is you talk about Stargate Pioneer on your podcast, and then you go to Twitter and you tag him, because SP likes his ego stroked. And if you do that and you say, hey, I talked about you, he will go and he will engage back. That's SP. Guaranteed.
If you talk about the star of Better Podcasting on your show, yeah, I will talk about your show. Absolutely. Or you can just have me guest on your show. One of the two.
There you go. So there you go. That's how you're going to cultivate some audience engagement. And we want you, as SP said, to tell us what works for you. Let's go ahead and download.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
This was intriguing news that came out this week. You've probably seen it all over the internet if you follow any podcast communities, but On Monday, September 18th, 2017, Libsyn, you know the company Libsyn that we've talked about many times, they announced some changes in their statistics reporting, and the goal is that they are trying to make them in accordance with the IAB guidelines and make sure that they are compliant with that. SP is the stats guru. He will talk stats all day. In fact, if his backdrop was to fall right now, you would see printouts of all of his show's statistics. He has them all over his office. So I'll let him talk a little bit more about this.
Yeah, I don't trust computers. So the statistics are actually printed out and put all over my... No, you've seen my office on other shows. No, that is not true. We've talked about the IAB compliance guidelines before, both on episode 45 and 46 last year. So this is not something new. This is something that was coming for a long time. There was agreement on the compliance of what is going to be called a download and what media hosts should be reporting in terms of statistics. We'll have a link in the show notes to the actual IAB document that came out in September 2016. So the Libsyn announced on Monday, September 18th, a change in how they were going to be handling statistics. They announced it on a blog post. They announced it in their The Feed podcast, episode 104. The snippet of that announcement is co-located with the blog post as well. So if you just want to listen to the 10-12 minutes of the statement, you can go to the blog post at the blog.libsyn.com. Also, they distributed emails directly to their customers, of which I received one as well. Now, disclaimer, as we go further, Better Podcasting, the media, is hosted on Libsyn. So we're talking about this, something that we are customers of. I use Libsyn for all my other shows. Steven only uses Better Podcasting for Libsyn. All his other shows are self-hosted. So we're just disclosing where we host and why. We will tell you that neither of us monetizes any of our podcasts. So we don't mess around with the CPM. We don't advertise in other ways as well. We don't have Patreon, at least not yet. But we know others do advertise that are lucky enough to bring down enough statistics to then be able to sell ad slots on their shows. A little background on Libsyn, in case this is the first time you're ever hearing about it. Libsyn is actually short for Liberated Syndication. They've been around since 2004 to 2005. Lately, since I've started podcasting and started using media hosts in 2013, Libsyn has been rock solid. They've had an RSS feed that just hasn't quit. They've had limited or no downtime. I can't remember a downtime that they've had. They've had a downtime with statistics, but not with content delivery. And the statistics have always caught up later. And overall, it's been a great service since I used them. So full disclaimers there. But back to the announcement for the statistics change that came out. Libsyn's announcements, they all indicated that the change started in August. They have not informed any users of any change in August. And they said that they had started changing in August. So we're like, hey, has this really affected anybody? So I started talking just out of the blue last week to another hobby podcaster who had their stats drop from about 17,000 to 7 to 10,000 per episode in August. And they were like, hey, what's going on? So they contacted Rob Walsh, who's the VP of Podcaster Relations at Libsyn. Rob's very available. So if you're hosting and you have an issue like this, I would expect that you would contact Rob. So they did. And they said, hey, what's up? What's changed? Rob basically, in his response, reported that nothing had changed and really directed the podcaster to look at their stats, their user agents, their geolocation to figure out what was going on there. So it is possible that Rob didn't know, but that's unlikely because he's a major component of Libsyn. They're a small company. They only have like 20-21 employees. I find it hard to believe that they would change stats with Rob reporting on stats monthly on the feed to the entire podcast community and them not tell him they didn't change. So that's a little bit of my background on, I don't know if you knew that or not. So Stephen, what do you think about what's going on here?
Well, There's another interesting note. You mentioned that Rob Walsh, he does talk about statistics regularly on the feed. That's the Libsyn's official podcast. We've actually talked about it. It's a great source of seeing trends of podcasting. And honestly, I think there's a lot of really worthwhile data in there. In the episode that came out just before this announcement, episode 103, Rob had made a comment regarding the statistics like he always does. He's always talking about the statistics. And what he said was, quote, well, I'll let SP read this because he's better at reading.
I can't channel my individual Rob, so it'll be in my voice. But some of those numbers were down a little bit. The median numbers were down a bit. I think it's going to probably drop again. And we're going to see it drop again. We had a lot of shows come over from SoundCloud, so I think that's doing some things. We'll see how stats go in the future, but that is where we are. And that's Rob's direct quote from the feed, episode number 103.
So this leads me to two mindsets on the subject. Number one, ultimately, it comes down to one of these. Rob knew that the stats had changed and he was misleading or not forthcoming with the information because he says that he expects that it's related to SoundCloud. So if that's the case, then honestly, I would rather have seen nothing speculated on at all, just to be fair to everybody. I think it would have been nice to have just avoided the subject altogether, because let's be honest, in all companies, there are things that changes are in the works and you don't talk about and you can't talk about it. That's fair. But to speculate on it related to SoundCloud is misleading, and I'm not a big fan of that personally. The other possibility with this was that he didn't know. He legitimately didn't know that this had happened. Somebody in Libsyn made the change, and if he didn't know, in my opinion, this is all my opinion, I think this is a massive concern with the communication methods within Libsyn, because he is the face of Libsyn. You've seen him around podcast communities. He's always talking and embracing the Libsyn ways and really helping people and directing them in the right way. And when it's talking media host or self-hosting, he's right there. And if he is like the face around the community of Libsyn and he didn't know, that shows that there's a communication breakdown within Libsyn or some form of structure where he does not know the information. And then you can only, unfortunately, have to question the statistics being given by him on the feed. So I hope that it's the former and not the latter, because if it's the latter, there is a whole pile of questions that come with that. In any case, my opinion, I really think that it would have been better just to have been forthcoming when the change happened in August. I think that would have been nice. That would have been prudent to the user base, because us podcasters, so many of us honestly obsess with stats. It's not a secret. And to have made a switch and not tell people, you have people analyzing what happened to this drop. They're spending tons of time trying to figure out, where did I go wrong? What have I expletived up on my show? And that's what they're trying to figure out. So I would rather Libsyn have communicated it when the change happened. I really think that this change is quite honestly needed. And talking about the change itself, my personal opinion is that this was long overdue. Podcasting is something that has really been a bunch of different opinions as far as what statistics go. And it's still a fairly new medium. And if we end up having a big body come in that sets a realistic and a reasonable standard, it is only beneficial if everybody accepts that standard, and then we end up with level playing fields. So I'm happy this change is happening, because it's just another step towards a universal standard. But I'm not wild about the communication method myself.
Yeah, and really what this affects are people that are monetizing through ad buys. And the problem is, if you've sold ads based on a higher number of statistics that have come in, and now you're receiving lower statistics, then all of a sudden the people that you are buying the ads from, or that are selling the ads to you, they're going to want to reduce the rates, basically. Now, I'm not sure how this is all going to pan out now that Libsyn has come out, that this change might have affected different shows. And I think the one show that I'm talking about, it definitely did. I can't imagine another show like Dan Carlin let's say he's getting 2 million downloads on each of his shows, and all of a sudden he's only getting 1 million downloads. I have no idea how that's going to affect his show at all. But those are the people that this would affect. So it is real. It's not like, oh, I don't care, I'm only getting X amount of downloads on my show and I'm not selling ads. It's no big deal. It does matter to some people. And I'm not against the standard being there. I'm actually for the standard. I'm liking the standard. I think now I can measure my show against the stats that come down from Blueberry or Podbean if they ever meet the compliance standard, or whoever else is out there that meets the compliance standard. I like that, because back in episode 39 of Better Podcasting, Stephen, you actually had done a lot of research to compare statistics results from Podbean, Blueberry, and Libsyn, right?
Yeah, and some of them I found a 20 to 30% variance. So this is exactly why I said this is needed. This is long, long overdue. I'm happy to see it. And the bottom line is it doesn't make me feel very good about their communication methods, but I'm hoping that they pick up the pieces and going forward, they kind of analyze some of this feedback and maybe do things a little bit different if there's going to be another major change, because ultimately this is a very major change. And I just haven't felt myself like it's been treated as such. So I hope they do, because as SP said, there's lots of really good things about Libsyn, and I hope that their communication methods going forward can match those.
Yeah, their communication since this announcement came out, I mean, the announcement has, there's still some questions, like what happens to my stats in the past, that sort of thing. But their communication was very forthcoming. Their announcement was well-crafted. I'll give them kudos for that. I would have preferred to have known that, especially if my stats were affected like that other podcaster at basically a 50% drop. I would have wanted to know that in August. And here's the real bottom line from all this is this entire event has shown you, just given you another reason why you should pay attention to the podcasting industry, the podcasting landscape, because it can and will change. And you'll want to be armed with that information to take advantage of the new tools that come your way to help you create and distribute your content better, or just understand the landscape of what you need to do and where you're working on in the pod sphere. That's all. Just pay attention. And if you're listening to this show, you are. And that's why we're here to give you the information.
Awesome. That's going to go ahead and wrap up the download. Let's get into a special segment that I've got now. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Steven's got a new toy, and it's one that a lot of podcasters are wondering about. What we're talking about is the new Zoom mixer / recorder, the L12 Live Track. Steven's had an opportunity to use this on one show, the GunnaGeek.com show this week, and he's also using it for the second show right now on this show. So Steven had wanted to put together a little bit of his first impressions, because he did a lot of research into setting it up, and now he's used it a couple of times. And literally in the show notes last night, it read, it's cool, it has lights, it has buttons, it has sliders, it's cool, it's fun.
It smells cool. Good. It smells
it
good.
It smells good. Yeah.
The L12, I'm not going to get too in-depth today about it. I will give you a bit of an overview, because I am going to do a full video. So I'll just caution you that right now. The L12 digital mixer / recorder, I've been using it since last Sunday. This is something that I first hooked it up was the previous Sunday. We're recording this on a Wednesday. And as SP said, I've done two shows. Now, I've had it out of the box since last week's Wednesday recording, but never worked the wires over till last Sunday. And I gotta say, my first thoughts when I hooked it up is, wow, this is incredible. My second thoughts was, wow, this is overwhelming, because it really is. It is a digital mixer through and through. If you haven't looked this thing up, it is something that it embraces the digital methods. It is something that there are buttons that are shared between multiple channels. It also is, say it with me, 6 audio mixers in one. That's right. It is 6 audio mixers in one. You can have 6 different mixes within this. That means that you can Now, when I say six audio mixers, there are some things that are shared between the different mixes, but overall, it's going to allow you to have six different configurations going out, essentially the main mix plus five mix minuses, which is why a lot of people were very intrigued in this. Now, the L12 itself does recording. It actually will record at the same time all 12 tracks plus the two track stereo mixdown. This is something that means that, yes, it is incredibly recording 14 tracks to an SD card at one time. But that's not it. It actually has USB capability, and it will send via USB all 14 tracks to your system if you've got the software that can do it. Fun fact, Audacity can do it. So that is something that is really interesting to see, because 14 tracks via USB, a lot of mixers don't do that. They only do the stereo mixdown. Now, I will say this, as far as the complication goes with it, I have been using audio mixers for a very long time. Long before I was ever podcasting, I was using audio mixers. I actually used to dabble with them when I was a kid, and I did some sound for a local theater and things like that. So I know a lot about, not a lot, but I have a lot of experience playing with different mixers, and this was super, super overwhelming. And the reason why is because I honestly couldn't wrap my head around the digital method. The way it works is that you have just one set of faders per channel. So you've got your 12 different channels, and you've got one fader per each of those, and it is shared between those different mixes. So you have the master, you have an A channel, a B channel, a C channel, a D channel, and an E channel. And as you go through and you push each of those buttons, you'll actually see lights come up next to the fader that tells you where your levels are for that specific track. And what that means is, to adjust that track, you have to move the fader up to the position of where it's supposed to be in order to enable it. Now, that means that if you are sitting there and you are trying to set a certain channel, you're going to need to, number one, make sure that you are on the right mix that you're trying to, because you might be trying to set a certain mix minus, but B, you need to make sure that your fader is in the right position before it activates, because these are not mechanical faders. These are ones that, and the faders are the sliders, you know, the things that you dial on the board. That's what a fader is. These are ones that you actually have to adjust yourself. So if all of a sudden you were to switch mixes and it didn't operate that way, what would happen would be you would end up all of a sudden having levels switch because your faders are in a different position. So that's why you kind of have to move it to the position before it activates. And again, I'm going to do a full video where you're going to be able to follow this a lot better. But it's a really cool setup, because it really does embrace the digital side of things. But it took me a long time, probably the better half of a day, to try to actually wrap my head around it and go, ah, I got it. It makes sense now. I just couldn't get it. Now, you're saying to yourself, Steven, why didn't you look at the book? I did look at the book. Honestly, the manual is not very good for podcasters. The Zoom L12 is one market it is geared towards is musicians. And because of that, they spend a lot of time talking about the things that I'm not going to use. Playing music back from the SD card back in so you can record extra tracks and things like that, extra takes. For me, I'm not like that. And the book is kind of confusing in that manner. So it does take a lot of playing around. But once I finally got my head to go, Steven, think of it like this, it made sense. But it took, like I said, the better half of a day to figure it out and really make that switch. Now, what's super cool about this from a digital perspective is that you have presets. So not only do I have my six different mix possibilities, I have different recall buttons. I can save the configuration, the different mixes, to one of nine different settings. So if I had one show where I needed to have my levels at a certain amount, and then at another show needed to have them differently, I could do that. It is fantastic for somebody who really wants to embrace flexibility, because it is digital. That is a really cool feature. Other things that I'm really liking right now is that it has that 12-track recording. Hands down, one of the greatest things with it, because it means that I'm not sitting there trying to select which six tracks do I want to record like I was on my Zoom H6. It's recording all of them at one time, and I can throw away what I don't need, and I can keep what I do want. The other thing that I think has been really, really neat about this is that the board is pretty compact for the feature set that it has. Like I said, it's essentially six different mixers in there, yet it is fitting on my desk. How awesome is that? And because it embraces digital, you have different EQ per channel, but you only have one set of EQ knobs because it is digital. So you select which channel you're wanting to set the EQ, and you go over to your just one set of EQ knobs and you set it that way. So that is awesome. It saves you all of that room that you would see on a traditional mixer where you have EQ above every channel. Fantastic. Quirks that I've noticed. The way that you have to record is you have to actually have a record button pressed on every single channel. Now, that is to arm the recording. If you've ever used a Zoom H6, you know that there are six different buttons that you push to arm the recording, and then the light comes up. Then when you hit the master record, it goes. That's the same thing with the L12. So you have to go and set all of those in the arm position like you would on the H6. Now, those actually reset if you power off the board. So you essentially, if you power off the board, have to push those and arm those every time before you hit record. So that's an odd quirk. You'd think it would be able to remember that. I can remember all of my other settings. Why can't it remember which tracks I have armed? The other thing that I think is an odd quirk is that the USB recording is set up oddly. Like I said, it will send all 14 tracks via USB. Now, a standard Windows program is going to only capture two tracks. Many Windows programs don't have the capability to do 14 tracks. And what it picks up within Windows is tracks 1 and 2. That is so weird to me because tracks 1 and 2 are the board tracks 1 and 2. If I'm wanting to hook my board up and send audio in via USB, the chances are I want that main mix, and those show up as tracks 13 and 14. So that is very odd to me. I'm hoping they do a software change where they fix that. And the other thing that is really odd that I'm trying to figure out is that there's not a lot of room, a lot of headroom within your channels as far as your signal coming into it. And I actually have the pad enabled per channel, yet I have had a couple of weird things coming out of my microphone with the DBX286, where occasionally it will clip. And when it clips, it doesn't distort, it's clicking. It's really odd, it's really noticeable, it's really loud. Usually you would just see that it would just go so high and it would just sound slightly distorted. And the way that these occasional DBX clips that I see, and I've seen this happen on the H6, they're so quick that you don't hear it. But with the L12, it's going to be a weird click and it's really loud. So I'm hoping that I can fix that. Now, in post, I'm easy to fix that. I've just added something to my track where it will run a declicker and it's solid and it's fixed it. No problem at all that I've heard. So that is odd to me. Again, hopefully because it's a new board. It is a very new product. It's really advanced for Zoom. I know they've done some things like this before, but in my opinion, this is way more advanced than the other ones that they've done. I'm hoping that some of these things come with software fixes. I have a whole bunch more to say about it, but I'm not going to do that until the video, until I've played a little bit more. But I will tease you a little bit. Number one, really cool thing with some slate markers. That's a way you might be able to do a little bit of edit notes. Possibly some audio quality things that I've heard as far as the audio goes. Ooh, is it good? Is it bad? You'll have to wait to find out. No, it's honestly, what I'm seeing right now, based off my experiences, is pretty on par with the H6, but there's a couple of weird things that I'll save for. And the other thing as well is I'm going to show the way that all of these features work, because it really has a whole bunch of digital aspects to it that I just can't properly explain via an audio podcast. So if you have questions about this, please ask me, but that's my quick overview. Again, less than a week of use.
it might be overkill for a lot of hobby podcasters. So don't go around out and get this if you don't need it. Like for me currently, just because I'm limited on bandwidth, I can't fully use the Zoom L12. The Zoom H6 is enough for me to use right now. If I had more bandwidth and I was able to bring in more people single track like Steven does on this show on Gonna Geek, then yes, I would definitely want to upgrade to the L12 or whatever it comes next, you know, L12 V2 or whatever at that point in time, whenever I get my my bandwidth increase. But it's an amazing piece of machinery. I wish I actually had it on my deck, and I don't. Steven has it on his deck. It's just a wonderful piece. So if you have questions, please ask Steven, but don't rush out and get this if you don't have the requirement for it. If you don't need to record all 12 channels at once, a hefty duty mixer like my Mackie and a Zoom H6 will probably do for you for the time being.
And again, I want to make sure I reiterate, this has only been a week of use and there have been some quirks that I've noticed. So for all we know, in a few weeks, we will think grossly different about this. But right now, I think it's been really, really fun and has filled quite a few pockets that I had with my ideal setup. So fingers crossed. But that is going to take us to the end of the show. We said it. It was a compact show. So unfortunately, there's no better pod back this week. Isn't that right, SP?
That's right. We have one lined up, but we will save all the pod back for next week. Thank you, everybody, for getting in touch with us, for taking our polls, and we will have more to hear from you next week.
Awesome. So for episode number 98 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew saying I am an L12 user.
And I am SP saying I have two H6s and an H5. So I've got L12 plus two. Hey, see you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.